Good evening, members. We'll now call this workshop meeting to order. And I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Lank.
Protocol, you should probably adopt the agenda. Just be safe.
Oh, okay.
Be rolling on. Need a motion and second to adopt the agenda.
Okay, are there any corrections or additions to the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda is printed.
Have a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve this evening's agenda as printed. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carried. The agenda is approved. Now.
Patient met about 2 hours ago. We started at 3 and got done around 5.
Okay.
And we discussed the subdivision ordinance and the zoning ordinance both. Vince Robertson had prepared a couple things for them to give consideration to, and I'll just give you an overview real quick so you kind of know how we went. There wasn't any votes taken or anything. It was just general discussion for the purpose of trying to come up with some criteria that we may need to amend. Might need to amend the ordinance for house cleaning or something technical or something new or whatever. And in reference to the subdivision ordinance and the zoning ordinance, we discussed the cluster ordinance, which allows for smaller lots within the zoning category in certain locations, and that's something that you don't have to deal with. So it's one of the issues that we discussed. We discussed substantial construction, also substantially underway issues, and that's typically in a subdivision. But it's not specific enough in the zoning ordinance as it would relate to conditional use, maybe a special use exception. If you have a time limit, they should be substantially underway within a year based on the way the ordinance is written today. And so there's a need to incorporate into the ordinance, the zoning ordinance, some kind of reference to substantially under construction, substantially underway, something of that nature.
Substantially under development.
Yeah, to show that project, whatever it is actually ongoing within the time frame is set based on the board.
Sort of build-out period or whatever.
Yeah, it's substantial underway would basically in a subdivision would mean you've got the entrance in, started, the roads are cut, the site work's being done to do the stormwater management, there may be a house, there may be utilities, it's a list. And we need the same thing in the zoning ordinance as it would relate to a conditional use for like multifamily, a convenience store, or whatever. Could be the same on a special use exception on some of those. And your time limit's a lot shorter.
Right.
So in that reference, the commission on a subdivision, so you know, their preliminary approval is valid for 3 years. Within that 3 years, they have to submit for their final approval. Then if they get final approval, it's good for 5 years, and they have to be substantially underway within that 5 years. On a conditional use, it doesn't really say. It's not clear.
Right.
Special use exception is not clear. On conditional uses, it's the same. It's 3 years now. They changed it about a year and a half ago. So rather than one year and getting time extension every year, we give them 3 years, and if they're not ready to start by then, they're not going to start probably.
Okay.
The difficulty with the board, I think, and you might want to consider this, and Rick, you can chime in if you want. Your approval is one year.
And on occasion.
Sometimes it takes a year to get all the permits.
Well,
and the example would be. The example would be Mount Air with that
rendering plant.
That cooling, whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
That took a year and a half to get, and they came back to the board to get a time extension, I believe.
Yeah, they did.
So, I mean, maybe you need uncertain things. You can probably say more time to get substantial underway, and it could be a condition of the approval, maybe, or else we change the ordinance to say 2 years or 3 years might not be necessary because some of the projects
are longer,
but there's some that are that could take that long.
Or maybe commercial applications, because typically residential, don't, if you're not done in a year, substantially.
Well, typically it's the special use exceptions.
Yeah.
We had the
variances, 90% of them are already built when they come.
Yeah.
they're not applying before, they're applying after. So
we had that issue come up when the Yoder's application expired, and everybody got bent out of shape because he couldn't reapply.
Right.
He had to reapply and start from scratch.
Maybe there's a...
He's waiting on what Dell does or something. Maybe. He had everything else.
He did, and we had one the other night where the guy, it was up in Milford, where the guy wanted to add an addition to a liquor store, and it took more than a year to get ABC approval, so...
That's true.
I'm not sure it's a bad idea just to kick it up to 2 years anyway.
2 years.
So what the... more work for Rick, but what Vince is going to do is prepare a summary of what they discussed today and then go to the council sometime in the next month or so and discuss with the council what was discussed, so to see if the council's interested in making some amendments. And Rick, you could do the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
And I would participate too, because we'll be taking notes in the minutes and everything else. And that would give you and Rick, or you and Vince, the opportunity to speak to council and say, these are some concerns of the council or the commission and the board, the things that might could be addressed. And it's a downtime for the commission right now. We're down to, I got one application I haven't advertised for the first time.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I'll get 12 because I just said that.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, right. We reference the note. The ordinance says that the applicant shall prepare a notarized statement of all the property owners within 200 foot. We haven't done that in 30 years before you two girls came to work for us.
And 200 foot really isn't that great of a distance.
So that's a lot of people if you're in the right spot. You and Ann.
You got 50 foot. Yeah.
You're in Ann Acres, there's 50 foot lot.
Right.
You got a mess of pages of people, but
right.
Out in the country, it's not. It's not enough.
No, I believe we should stop it.
And
the ordinance,
I agree.
State law says public notice on site and in two newspapers of general circulation.
And I think that's sufficient.
Yeah.
But the council will probably disagree because we've done it for so long.
Well, but they're trying to.
They're
making a push to trying to use the internet more too, and that might be a fair trade-off to notify them over the internet. You know, put it on the internet as opposed to sending out the mailings, which frankly gets a little expensive at times too. I would imagine.
And the council doesn't disagree. I mean, the commission.
Yeah.
But, and they were sort of the same way.
Well, it is on the internet.
But we prepare it. Pretty much everything is.
The other problem with that, Lawrence, and we've had that come up frequently, is that inevitably, and I know this happens everywhere, people get up and complain that I live within 200 feet and I didn't get my notice. And the longer you keep it in effect, the more it almost sounds like a rule or a policy.
Correct.
And when you start violating policies and make mistakes in them, then you're giving somebody a foot in the door on an appeal.
And know how many times that we tell them that it's a courtesy only, it's not required, it's not the law. They
it
still
doesn't make
don't
a bit
accept
of difference
it.
When no. They know their neighbor got one and they didn't. And
exactly right.
But let me also say this, because these advertising rules are something which Dave Baker recently sent a note out to the three county attorneys and asked us to get together and kind of sit down and talk through those things. And I think to basically try to come up with one set of advertising rules that we would use for the council, for the P&Z, and for Board of Adjustment, because there's some things that all three bodies have different requirements on, which makes no sense at all.
Right.
There's actually no posting requirement for Board of Adjustment when you sit there and study the ordinances. I mean, you guys do it just because that's what you do out of the office anyway, but technically there's no requirement that we even post the property, and that,
right,
which
is
kind
right
of strange.
Yeah, I didn't know that, and I've been here too long.
Who said that?
There's a reference to which we look at, and the board doesn't. We have a requirement if they want to re-subdivide a parcel, it has to be 51% of the people in the subdivision that agree that they don't object. But the question comes up there is, what 51%?
And that's tough to get.
If
that
the developer count as one, because he owns half the lot still, or does he get a vote for every lot that he owns? Then it's going to be changed.
Maybe you should say homeowners association.
Well, the homeowner association isn't necessarily true either, because some people aren't members of the association, or they're in their arrears and their dues, and their vote doesn't count based on their bylaws. So
that's true.
That's a question.
Shame on them.
Yeah.
I agree. That's a better question.
Well, before you got to that point, and the homeowners association, why? Just
take, for example, that cell tower down to Bethany Beach. Why can't you, if, instead of notifying everybody within 200 feet, send a letter to notification to that homeowners association or that
condo
association and say, here, you distribute it. We've notified you. Now you take care of doing
notifying
the rest
your
of
people.
Well, that's what we do in the parks.
Parks.
We notify the park. We don't know who all the tenants are or where they are.
Right, but wouldn't that be easier though?
We've done that too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Right. What I'll do if there's a property next to a subdivision, a tax map just shows it a parcel. Some of the staff doesn't seem to be able to figure out where those people are because they got to go to a larger drawing at a different place, and it's difficult sometimes.
Sure.
I'll go to this, the open space, the roads, and
it's
the stormwater area to see if there's a parcel number, and I'll use that, because that's a HOA.
Okay.
So they get it.
Well, in verbal communication, a lot of things can get mixed up. For example, Collins Pond Association. The state wanted recently to put a ditch. We met last night. They wanted to put ditch for drainage for the development next to our pond. And in talking to them, they thought Collins Pond Association was a homeowners association. They have worked out details and everything. They're in, the third phase, and all of a sudden everything's scrapped and they got to start all over because Collins Pond Association has nothing to do with this development. You know, but they assumed the Collins Pond Association was a homeowners association.
Well, I just feel we shouldn't even notify anybody.
Well,
can you do that?
Make a note of that, or Jennifer, in a minute, please.
Mm-hmm. Whatever state law is.
Oh, I agree. No question, but the difficulty is, and the council is going to be the one to say it, is that we've done it for too long.
Right.
It's hard to change. The other side of that coin is the courts are sort of saying to subdivide is a permissible use. So why do we have to have a public hearing? And we say, well, we didn't have public hearings until 82. Are we going to change them after
28 years?
9 years or 29 years, whatever it is. No, probably not. Because we've already done it.
Established.
Yeah.
The commission discussed residential plan community, which you don't get into. Because the commission and the council have waiver rights within the ordinance to allow them to make changes within residential plan community. So that's not an issue they have to address. Other than, we have to look at, we need to establish some kind of schedule, as I said earlier. Subdivision got 3 years preliminary and then 5 years once you get final approval. The residential planning community doesn't really tell you specifically how much time you have. And a residential planning community is a double zoning process. You get a rezoning to a higher zoning density, like from AR to MR, AR to HR, high density, and then you get an RPC overlay. We can't take the HR away from them, but we can take the RPC if they don't develop it by a certain time. And there's an example, which I won't mention any names, but it's HR zoned, it's got an RPC overlay. If they don't do the RPC, which planned 8 units to the acre, we void the RPC, and they can develop it at 12 units to the acre.
Wow.
So the HR zoning, we can't take away from. That's a zoning change, the other's an overlay. So we're kind of sitting in between, do we take it away from or do we let them keep it? So that's a tough one.
One question I had with the RPCs and that kind of thing, when do they review through lots when they're setting all that up?
Yeah, we look at how their layout is.
So you
but typically you won't see a through lot
in
a
RPC
in a new subdivision either, because it's going to have a buffer all the way around a perimeter.
Are you thinking about
away with that lot going out to the river?
You're talking about in the newest RPCs or whatever.
Oh, even in the new subdivision.
Are you thinking about the decks situation?
Well, one that comes right to mind is right down 54, across from the boat place. We had, I don't know how many there, but that may not have been an RPC, but.
Right across from North Bay Marina?
Yeah, right across from the boat.
That would be, you've had a lot of variances there. That's a.
Because you got the road.
That's Kenwick Sound.
Yes. Yeah.
Those lots were before the amendments to the ordinance that required the buffer.
Right,
you get quite a few sheds that come up in the backyard.
But we're not running into that now then, okay.
Not in the newer ones.
Okay.
The other example of that, the situation with the lack of being able to acquire additional right-of-way for the state, Plantation Road.
Mm-hmm.
Plantation East Project and the West Project, one across from each other. the west project is set back further. They got the white fence, and then they've got the houses setting back probably 40 feet. When they did the east project, which was the second phase of the same zoning category, it was at the same time we had just done a lot of subdivisions and residential planned communities on Route 1, oceanfront. The dual's already there.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean's on the other side of it. It didn't affect anybody. So when they came in, all the access had to be from the interior streets. Lots backed up from the interior street out to Route 1, and the developers created 10 or 20-foot buffer strips so they could landscape it to buffer the lots from the Route 1,
mm-hmm.
not to reverse, to give them some screening. Plantation East came up, and they come in proposing 20-foot buffers, and they got approval without even thinking, because it was just like all the others that had been done. Probably half the lots north, or half the subdivisions and RPCs north of Bethany to the inlet have that same concept.
Hmm.
For that planting strip between the houses and the road. And then the plantation came up, and they came in with a 10-foot strip along the road.
Units
were built within 10 foot of that strip, so there's a 20-foot spacing. There's nowhere to get any decent right-of-way expansion to expand route or plantation road.
1D.
Yeah. It's labeled that way. One something.
1D.
1D, okay.
One disaster.
Yeah.
So that's something we discussed for quite a while. We discussed the RPCs. Some of the definitions need to be updated. The ordinance says filling station.
Convenience store.
Filling station, can you name in Sussex County?
Convenience store.
I can name a couple. One at Laurel's, right on the corner.
Reese Carey.
Carey's. Mm-hmm. That's one of the few. Rest of them are convenience store with gas pumps. So that'll probably be just cleaned up. We're looking at defined stuff that's just old and needs to be updated.
Right.
We looked at home occupations and wondered if maybe there's a way to expand those at a minimum, but be more specific about what they are. The example I gave them was that I get a lot of requests for gunsmiths. Well, it's just a guy, and that's a craft. It's not a trade necessarily. A guy works that, does it part-time. That's a home occupation. That's the way it can be approved. It's not really listed. But it's one of those kind of similarity things, catch-all type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the home occupation things we discussed. We discussed if there's a way to do an expandable home occupation. This could affect the board. You're not allowed to have any employees as a home occupation. But is there a method where we could do a special use exception and say this is a special use exception for a business with one employee? The difficulty of that is policing it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know how many employees they got? Because we violated people, and the guy said, yes, me and my son, and I have a subcontractor. I said, where did the subcontractor come from? He drives in and parks here, and we go to work.
But if you look at those laws, the subcontractor provides his own transportation tools. And.
Oh, yeah, right, but they're just playing with words.
Right.
Yeah. The guy's probably got his license from state as a contractor. We discussed golf courses.
I bet you did.
But we discussed golf courses because, to read what it says what a golf course is, a golf course has golfing activities, a pro shop, locker rooms, a snack bar. It doesn't say
clubhouse.
That they have a clubhouse, convention center, dining, major dining room.
Swimming pool.
And they've all got them. They've all had them. They always have had them.
Swimming pool.
They go hand
that
in
just
hand.
Needed to be brought up, and we've been talking that one for probably 20 years, just never did.
Golf course and amenities.
Yeah. We discussed gross floor area with a 75,000 square foot on a big box store.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of difficulty there trying to address that, but that's could be related to the board. It could be a variance necessary, but there's a lot of other processes relating to the state to get into the big box stores. We discussed the reference to major arterial roadways where the state has descriptions of like four different road types and they have different widths from center line, and we're supposed to go from center line to that dimension and then give them setbacks. We very seldom refer to it. It's difficult to interpret. Nobody knows which road which, so we're probably going to have to work with DLDOT to get that clear. Let's see. We talked about bonds and guarantees, bonding, performance bonds, that type of thing. We talked about parking in the front yard. That's sometimes difficult, and again, it's difficult because if you get the site plan approved, you allow them to park at the front yard line, which is right at the right-of-way, state wants more right-of-way, where are you going to get it from? State takes it, they don't have the adequate parking. Can't take the project away from them. They basically have a project with inadequate parking. We went through the discussion just real quick in general, the different conditional uses, which is something the board could do is look at the different
special use exceptions
and see what, if you think they could be expanded or altered and flip-flop back and forth. The one example I have there is, and somebody heard me say this, I've been saying it for years and years and years, is that the ordinance says a conditional use is required for a chicken house on less than 5 acres. Now that's common sense to me, the way you do variances, that's a variance. If you got 4.5 acres, you don't meet it, you go for a variance for a half acre. You see it all the time with dimensions and setbacks and all that. So I mean, that's common sense. That should have been changed years ago.
But
we haven't had one in 20 years because the chicken houses are so much bigger today than they were 20 years ago. So we don't see that type of application.
Going back to special use exceptions and the types, and there's been controversy in the past about group homes.
Right.
Probably needs to be addressed because I would assume there are probably going to be more and more of those with.
There's a difficulty with group homes, and Rick might be able to address this. If they fall under the Disabilities Act, then we have no jurisdiction. But how far do they carry the definition on disability?
Well, I was thinking more specifically like, group homes for, prisoners trying to get back into society.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That wouldn't fall under Disability Act, but it may have a little tricky.
But the kicker would be if it's a church sponsoring it, then you end up with a potential issue. So there are a lot of problems with those, and the county's getting sued on a couple of them right now, actually.
Let's see here. The majority of it. I think that's the majority of it. And a couple of things that we added in discussion as far as what the staff came up with, a few things. Let me get the right one here. I said we talked about clusters. Looked at definitions. There's a few things that might could be tweaked in there. We talked about signs. More specifically, the ordinance makes reference to 15% of a wall can be a lot larger than what's allowed because of the size of the wall. And some of the sign people are trying to get us to say the intent was include all the walls. But the ordinance says a wall.
Right.
So A means one to me.
Right.
And they say, no, that's not the intent. I said, I didn't write it.
You don't advertise on the backside.
I was never told anything but a wall. So we're having a little problem here. And the other thing with signs is that the feather flags.
Mm-hmm.
And whether the feather flag has got words on it or whether it's plain, is it permitted? Plain being a color with nothing on it.
Right.
Or feather flags or flags with
pictures
of watermelons, tomatoes, corn, whatever. Yeah, that's no different than words. And signs with welcome and open. And my question about welcome and open is, as long as I can remember, businesses would put a flag or a sign in the front window that says they're open. They still do.
Sure.
Some of them have neon lights that flash and everything else that say they're open. So.
You
got to figure out how far to carry it and what you can do and what you can't do. And it might be that we have to permit feather flags and tell them how many they can have.
And you got window signage.
And where they put them. Well, window sign you can't really touch because it's a window. It's inside a window. We don't even count that.
It has to be exterior.
True. And then we also discussed vendors.
Before you go on with signs. member financing by.
Oh, yeah, no, that's an example too. The ordinance now says the developer can advertise for sales or rent, and it's a larger sign, it's 128 square foot.
Hmm.
The contractor can advertise on 128 square foot. Now, he's doing the site work. He might be the builder. He might be the electrician. It's hard to say. So it's got to be somehow broken down to say, this, you're restricted to
a total of signs
telling you how many people are doing what where.
A total of.
Because they could have 128-foot signs up and down the street, but there isn't any of them that say finance by. And there's quite a few of them out there, and we've had to have a couple removed because they said financing by, and there's no project. If there was a project there, you might could say, well, it says the project name, and the bottom it says financing by, but this is a sign for the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to you a site that says the developer, the builder, the site worker, the bank. They're all 8.5 by 11s, or excuse me, 4x8s. But they're all 4x8s, maybe a little bit bigger. So you got these, like a billboard going down the promo shave, going down the road, but they're bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank's one of them. They're not permitted by code. That's pretty much the signs in it that we've discussed. And the other thing with vendors. Mm. You got another sign question?
Yeah, the 150 combination. But we already did that A wall, so that's it right there.
Well, I was talking about the A wall.
15% or 150.
Yeah, but the other thing was the ordinance said you can have 150 square foot.
Combination, mm-hmm.
And we can put it, spread that around, which there's so many getting 150 square foot. You put it all on one side, one spot, and be a bigger sign, or you put four smaller ones around the building, we allow the four. But the ordinance may be tweaked a little bit to make it clear that we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on one wall or more than one wall?
That's it for signs.
Mm-mm.
Something else about signs too.
I wrote some things down.
Bandits.
Well, let me tell you what we're doing.
Oh,
bandits.
Produce signs.
Produce signs. That was one.
Bandits. The guys that install them are putting them in the state right away. Mm-hmm. We had no jurisdiction. The state was pulling them until the economy kind of said, "We're not giving you overtime to work on Saturday and Sunday to pull them." So then we contacted the. You contacted.
I did, at but Maloney.
We contacted the state sign people, and they said, we don't have any objection. You're pulling those signs on our right-of-way. But we know that we can't find them because all we're doing is pulling them just to get rid of them. And it's hard to differentiate between the sign that's in the state right-of-way and the signs right next to it that's in this private land where we could find them. So we've just been pulling them for the last year. We haven't found anybody.
Thousands.
A couple of them. We pulled how many?
Thousands.
What are you doing with them?
Right now they're stored for so long that they're destroyed.
You can probably sell the frames.
No, we don't have too many frames. Most of them are on sticks.
We're not being able to charge a fee, but it's costing the county to get rid of them.
Oh, yeah, we had the overtime, and we got the gas mileage and the...
But the wire frames you can probably sell.
Some of them are on wire. A lot of them are on wood.
Most are wood.
Gotcha.
And every once in a while we get the nice plastic sandwich sign that's probably worth $200 or $300. One of the guys pulled one of those, pulled the sign.
They can't have back.
The next day went back, there was another one just like it, standing up in the same spot with a chain and a lock on it. So he noticed that he could pull the sign off of the plastic sign and unscrewed it, took the sign apart, and left the sandwich board there.
And also, they're actually digging holes where they just pick them up and put them back in, and our inspectors are putting stones and stuff in
them. They're digging holes and putting little piece of plastic pipe down. They can just drop a stick in there on Sunday night. They can find it with a flashlight, put a post in there and go.
Mm-hmm.
So they're putting dirt and stones inside the pipe down.
Now, one other question then on them signs. What about the produce signs?
Yeah, I have that.
You know, I've heard, you know, you tell them that they put them up, and somebody take them down and or leave them alone.
There's provision in the ordinance about on-farm produce that allows you to have three signs.
On
at 32
premise.
Square feet.
On premise. Yeah, but they've got multiples.
Mm. Then they have three every 100 foot.
And then we violate, and then we're told higher up to leave them, and it's just, so we need to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to do that, then you need to up it or...
Do away with it.
Like the one on Johnny Street right there. Is that legal? He's the one all those signs up down there?
No, it's not legal.
Yeah. And, you know, he's surrounded by town limits now. He's done anything that's not town.
Yeah.
All that random annex. So he's easy to find.
Yeah.
Unless he puts it on town property or in the town zone.
But like with Kevin Evans, you know what I mean? He got his signs up. On his property, he's allowed to put so many up.
You're only permitted, they're able to have more than most. They can have three
okay.
signs total.
Per parcel.
On premise, wherever the
so if he owns two fields all the way down beside, he owns that, he can still put only three signs in that?
The produce stand has it, wherever the produce stand is.
Not the farm.
Not the farm.
Oh, okay.
The stand itself.
The use. Where they're selling the produce, that's where you can have the signage.
Oh, so he
not across the street.
Way down the road.
And way down the road. Oh, okay. It's on premise, wherever the produce.
Oh, okay.
He could have four or five farms, but it's only where that stand is.
Yes, on premise. Well,
they're all illegal people.
Oh, there's yeah. many. And we yeah. violate them. We're asked to.
Poor farmer, he can't make a dime.
Darn farmers.
Poor farmer, yeah. Let me see if I missed.
He's got enough problems with risk management.
Oh, there's another issue that I'm kind of skipping around, so I just had to miss the notes here. But we've had some issues with a garage.
Yeah, and four vehicles.
For more than four vehicles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Required a special use exception if it's over 900 square feet and over mm-hmm. and over four vehicles, whatever it says. I forget.
It doesn't say, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but private garage for more than four cars and floor area more than 900 square foot, is what it says.
Yeah. Like,
but you can have a 30. You can have a smaller, less than 900 square foot,
and have
floor area full of cars.
Yeah.
I don't get that ordinance.
And
backwards.
Yeah, well, it's kind of questionable how it is. So we really, it's something that should be looked at and try to clean it up. So mm-hmm. either doesn't require. I mean, the guy could go in and build two or three 899 square foot garages and you couldn't do a thing about it. The only issue is the four cars. And the inspectors have a little problem is they got five babies.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you got five cars.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Could be a boot, could be the grass cutter in one of those right. babies. I mean, we don't know.
Right. Pole sheds are very, very popular.
Yeah, and it's a thing today, it's a big issue. Everybody that's got a house, all of a sudden they want a big pole shed in the back mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
You got to have a place to put your toys.
They got to put their boot in there and their
lawnmowers and their two vintage cars.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
and I don't understand if they can meet setbacks, why can't they have it bigger than 900 square feet?
Right.
I don't understand this. And
yeah,
if it's a business, we'll find them. We'll get them.
900 is only good for four cars max.
It's not very,
The one thing I addressed, I think I said it outside. I'm not sure if I said outside or here already, but you might want to consider the time. Can we talk about the time limit again? If 1 year might not be enough?
Right, yeah, we did. That's coming back to that.
Really should think about it.
How about 2 years?
I mean, it could be, but that's...
Yeah, that's something. I think 2 years could be...
Special use exception.
We had a couple of them.
That's a lot of them are minor, but there's some that are major, and it's going to take them more time to just get permits once you approve it. They don't want to go to the other agencies until they know the board's approved it. They've got permission to do it. Then they go get their approvals.
That takes longer.
And the one that I use for an example is Mount Air. They had to go to the coastal thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were there for a while.
Well, you heard of one rip tech we just had last week.
And Denrec too, but I mean, that's something you might want to consider. Council consider extending the time for a special use exception.
That's what I wrote down.
And it'll keep you from having time extension requests.
Mm-hmm.
You have to anyway. And another thing I picked up, which a couple of you might pick up on, the ordinance says grain dryers, commercial have to be 300 foot from a boundary. Non-commercial has to be 100. A feedlot structure or manure sheds have to be 100 from a property line, 200 from a dwelling. And it relates to different districts also. So the zoning has a little bit of input there. A poultry house has to be 50 feet from a boundary and 200 feet from a dwelling or other zoning categories. Dog kennels have 200 foot from a lot line. Stables have 200 foot from a lot line if they're public, meaning they got more than five or more.
Four horses.
Five or more.
Five or more, yeah. They can have up to four. Yeah, five or more.
So if you have four, you can be...
You can have four, but...
A private stable, private stable is 50 foot with 100 foot front dwelling. So there's a whole bunch of different scenarios, and just thinking about it, not necessarily tonight, but thinking about it and for the future, is any of those that kind of give you heartburn, seem unnecessary, or don't seem to be enough?
Well, when you're talking about horses, I don't know that's such a problem as it is dogs.
Yeah, that's the thing I want to tell you about this dog, the kennel. Well,
I do have...
Four dogs, or...
I think the number of dogs should be raised or taken out.
Yeah, one or the other, because we've run into that a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
There's some...
One or the other.
Family.
I think she raised them, huh?
Six or something.
We had laid down there by what, the trap pond, and then another one here on the outside of Georgetown. One over by Laurel.
Oh, the one trap pond was
they had one
pretty,
there.
Pretty
they had a couple over there by Bridgeville, though.
Several years ago, yeah.
Then we had two over there by Bridgeville. Mm-hmm. The fella had them. I can name seven of them. They had to get rid of them after they had the puppies, and if they were deceased, then they couldn't go back up with them. We didn't make them get rid of them.
I don't know that more than six is necessarily a good idea, because not everybody's dog people, and you know, you get six dogs, that's a lot. Some.
But
we had a guy down there at the beach.
A lot of times. Mm-hmm. Depending on what kind of dog.
Down there at Bethany Beach.
Right.
Yeah, but then we had the guy at Bethany Beach meet him to give him his dog. I think didn't we down there in that housing development? Remember the guy down there that had him.
Dogs to kill the cats.
Yeah.
So. That's something I'd like to see looked at on that or consider.
Yeah,
either
just,
raise it or take it out.
We just find when we have complaints that it's always more than four dogs, and it's like six dogs. And then I just,
well,
we just thought.
The ordinance said six dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ordinance
said six or four? Is it four in the ordinance or
isn't
six?
It four dogs? Or is it six
it's
dogs?
Six.
I think it's six months or older.
Six.
Yeah, it's six. The 6 months
is four.
Issue, yeah.
Yeah, that's what.
Goats,
two,
horses.
Yeah, six
dogs. You can
chickens,
have so many horses,
million,
so many
thousand.
Cows, so many goats, so many sheep,
yeah.
And so many chickens as a private. And where the number came from?
Yeah, who come up with all these numbers?
I don't know.
They've been
one duck, six.
What happened to two
one
by
goat,
two?
Half of the ordinance.
It's like big old McDonald, you know, and that way the ordinance reads.
Half of the ordinance came from Kent County, Maryland, in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then it was
six.
And it was revised and revised and revised since the 70s. And it was codified when Rob Witzel was the county attorney the first time. And then we codified it again to bring it up to the current standard. But the way it's written now, we just changed the whole format. That's all we changed.
Codified. Rewritten?
Not necessarily rewritten. Reorganized.
Okay.
Same information, but just moved around. I think
that's
not all on PAP, but that's made on... I've probably been 45 minutes. I didn't think I'd take 15, so.
Yeah.
We need to. We want to hear from you all now.
Right, yard sales. Is yard sales an ordinance? It's not an ordinance, right?
Yard sales are not a reference in the code.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And let's see. 30 years ago.
They call them auctions.
Yeah.
30 years ago. Roland Barrickson was the director, okay? And we were having trouble with yard sales. That's when yard sales first got popular, about 30 years ago. And Roland went to the IRS and just sat down with them and talked. And they advised us that if a person has a yard sale, and we would consider a weekend as one sale, to allow them to do it 2 days, they couldn't have more than three a year. If they had more than three a year, they were operating a business. That's pretty much the way we try to look at it, that you have three yard sales and have more than that. You have your operating business, you need to go to the public hearing.
They haven't looked at eBay, have they?
No, that's got rid of a lot of some of the yard sales. They go online and do it, Craigslist or eBay or whatever.
But it's not in our ordinance. It's hard
to
violate.
It's not referenced. That's one of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that just came from a conversation, probably between Roland and an agent, not necessarily... Federal law, we don't know. Federal law even references yard sales.
Are yard sales a problem? I mean, the only problem I see is where they leave it set up all week.
They're a safety problem, more than anything else.
Hazard, yeah. And just a nuisance.
They just pop up, and you don't know they're there coming until you too late. They're already there.
Oh, you mean traffic and all?
No, I mean just in general. If they would set back further where people could get off the road, people park on the road. That's the issue.
Right, yeah, that is an issue.
There's one on Route 24... And the guy knows he can do it three times. don't know who told him, but he's been told. And he's got two sheds sitting in his backyard, and it's right full of brand new fishing equipment.
Where?
On Route 24 near Love Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And twice, and I don't know if he was there supposedly for Memorial Day. He'll be there 4th of July, and he'll be there Labor Day.
Okay, I have good in there.
And it's right at an acceleration lane coming out of
Love Creek.
Crap, what's it called? Can't think of the name. Well, there's a Valero station there at a light, Peddler's Village.
Oh, yeah.
Going east, right there.
And go by the bay?
Camp Arrowhead. Right there, right at the acceleration.
Okay.
And there are people pulling over and pickups and Delaware Electric Co-op trucks parked right there, and they're filling up the acceleration lane. Mm. And that's busy traffic. That's dangerous.
On holidays, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only time he does it, probably. But he does it 3 times a year.
4th of July.
I have a spy, and my spy says he's open. I said, well, and she said, he's got two more, right? I said, he's got two more.
He ain't through it. He knows it.
He knows it. Yeah, he does it 3 times.
Yeah.
And he gets some people stopped there because supposedly it's all new fishing tackle.
That's like Short's Labor Day sale.
No, but that's not something. That's not a yard sale where he's selling personal stuff to get rid of. He's operating a business for a weekend, what he's really doing.
Right.
But, no different than somebody selling.
He's doing it in the yard. He's doing it in the yard.
Yeah.
Lawrence, I got a question to ask you. On that, we gave a special use, the one at Mara store, remember, for selling? They sell odds and ends, anything they want to sell, their clothes, anything. And we give that special use, but can you take them back after you once give them?
Once you've granted approval, if they're in compliance with the conditions that you imposed on it, I don't think you can take it away from them unless you give them a time limit that restricts them to only so many times a year or so many years, period.
I mean, after we did it, I wish we didn't do it now because it's a hazard for traffic. They're on that road all over the place.
Where?
Mar store on 18.
Yeah.
And they come for a variance. We approved it to put that there.
Right.
I didn't know he applied for a variance because he's right out to the route.
Right out to the route, and we approved it. But now I wish we didn't do it because of traffic. And 18's bad anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Well, people pulling out and getting in and out of that place, it's bad.
That garage used to be a body shop.
Yep.
Yes.
Then they took the body shop and they've added a carport on front of it.
Yep. And they sell all that place.
Every weekend.
But then the display material is sitting right out on Route
9. On the road.
On 9 or 4.
Every weekend. Man, that place is wall through there. You're going across there.
Are you talking about?
Myers.
There's a little grocery right there on 18.
Right to the old landfill.
On the west side of Collins Pond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goes back to the old
landfill. It must have been, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, John, we did that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but
it's grown.
It's bad.
I didn't know that had been to the board. I really don't.
Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I just don't remember.
Three or 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
It's bad. I mean, I didn't know if
he could. Oh, yeah.
There's nothing we can do about that now, then.
No.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't he have to, I mean, if he's more than 3 times and he's operating as a business and.
Well, he's not.
Huh?
He's not. He's got the approval of the board.
He got the approval of us.
He got the approval of us.
He got a carte blanche, however you want to say it.
Well, I don't know the case, but we can look it up and see. But he's got approval to use his site for.
He does it. That's only the weekends.
Outdoor display on weekends.
Yeah,
on weekends.
Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think it's open on Friday either.
No.
No.
I think it's Saturday and Sunday. But that is.
It is a place. Sir.
Brent, what were you thinking?
I don't know. I must have something to drink or something.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Mm.
I would say that some of his displays actually in the state right away.
Yeah, it is.
But
yeah.
The state's the one that's going to have to stop him from doing it.
Well. Can he display? Well, I guess he can.
I don't know what his conditions are
in the setback.
If the board approved it, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. He did put a condition on it. He didn't ask for a condition to go into the display in the front yard. Then you can restrict him to not display in the front yard.
I can't remember.
I can't either. If you could look at, I can't
remember
that.
It's looked the same for a couple of years.
Huh?
It's looked about the same.
Same. Though. Yeah, it has. I don't think it's changed on it.
No.
But just, he's picking business up all the time. It's just bad.
Yeah, well, they've been there for you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got good.
That's all I've got to get you started.
Okay, cell towers. It's 50-foot lighting. It's not an FFA requirement. Can that be taken out?
It's in our code.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be amended.
amend it.
It'll require you to amend the code.
Okay.
Can't just take it out.
All right. But it's not, you know, it's not a requirement, FAA requirement.
Well, it'd been easier to say that it must comply with FAA requirements and have a certification.
That's what they should have done right out of the gate.
Operate.
Okay.
And as I remember, back when cell towers, they first, you know, started coming before us, county council was concerned. Actually, I think it was because of crop dusters who don't even, I mean, those guys don't even fly at night or in fog.
They fly early in the morning.
Huh?
They fly early in the morning.
Right. But, I mean, these guys are flying between power lines for, you know.
That's the issue that I got out of that conversation with one of the pilots was that he didn't know that cell tower was there. He'd been spraying that field for years. And all of a sudden he goes out and he comes in for his normal flight and all of a sudden, oh, there's a cell tower right in the middle of his path.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't get any kind of notification at least forewarn them that's gonna happen. And it went up in the winter when they're not spraying and they get in that spring and all of a sudden
there it is. So what does he do when all of a sudden new power lines go up in the path? Yeah, right.
Some of the utility companies have a courtesy thing that they send to these guys according to the flyer.
Oh really?
Yeah. Where they give them notice that it's taking place. But yeah, we've had a couple of the crop dusters that have come into a couple of public hearings and said they don't object. They're glad they were noticed so that they could at least acknowledge and prepare for it being there when it goes up.
Right. But, you know, 50 feet can be a nuisance.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, if the FAA doesn't require it, I don't know that...
The lighting is 50 foot is a nuisance to the neighbors, not the
right,
tower.
Right,
right. I understand. I mean, if it's in our code's references, then there's no reason that we couldn't take it out if through the public hearing process, but we have to go through the public hearing process.
Right.
We've had instances where companies have come in and asked for variances from the light requirement, and I know we've granted
and we've years, granted that, right?
But I think it makes more sense to just tell them to comply with the FAA.
Yeah, that's
who they're dealing with anyway.
It puts the regulation on the FAA and not us.
Right.
Basically, we're enforcing their regulation for them.
Right.
You know, also, we've had people go through a variance for the height of a tower, and it's not even in our ordinance.
What do you mean?
About a height of a cell tower.
No, but it says private radio, private and public radio and TV tower.
I just came up with that a few weeks ago.
It's a similarity, though.
They should have never been, because it doesn't.
Well, that's a similarity. So
yeah.
It really is. Rick would have to make that opinion whether or not it's same or similar, or else required to be. Well, you just change it to go where it says private or public, and it references 150, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you incorporate cell towers. Mm-hmm. But you can't incorporate everything. That's why it references the similarities. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it ought to be addressed.
Uh-huh.
While you're on cell towers, one of the things I'd written in my notes there, co-location on cell towers, you know, it's difficult for us to determine. I mean, we're taking the applicant's word that they have tried to locate on other towers and they're not available. I know for a fact that that's not always true. And so one of the things that I'm suggesting either they have to provide us with an affidavit or better yet, you know, cell towers, they're big business. There's a lot of money to be made. One of the things the county could do is put a moratorium on cell towers and in that time frame bring in a hire a consultant to determine where the networks currently are. For all the companies, and then, what future demand would be for networks? Because it's not stopping; it's gonna continue to grow. They did this over in Talbot County. They put a moratorium on. They hired a consultant. The consultant said, you know, this is where your towers are going to have to be placed, certain heights, so on and so forth. And see, a lot of these tower companies are only putting 150 foot towers and only allowing three. People to locate on it. They could go to a 200-foot tower, get five on there, less towers. You know, we're hearing more and more. It's, you know, nobody wants it in their backyard. But what they didn't do, and one step further the county could go, is, you know, wherever there's county property, put a tower on the county property. It pays for itself in less than 2 years with five companies locating on it. It's great revenue. And, you know, it can be part of the network. And from that point on, you know, if they go in towns, you know, they've got water towers, they've got all kinds of places to locate antenna. The county could do the same thing and make money at it. It's not going to make the people that, you know, sell towers all that happy, because right now they're tickled pink that they can put, you know, hundreds of towers up in the future. But, you know, pretty soon it'll look like, you know, the utility poles everywhere, and now utility companies are realizing that it's better to bury line underground.
There's already a couple cell towers on county property.
Good.
They do co-locate them.
Mm-hmm.
There's, if you look at the website, they're advertising one now. They're going to put over on the former dump site over.
Landfill. Oh, perfect spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Landfill site.
Two highest peaks between New York and North Carolina.
And they
over
are
by Lockwood,
already established with boundaries and the substantial distance from any individual properties and good locations. And what the county did on its own was, for years past, to get communication with the county employees before cell phones, actually, when they had the units in the vehicles where they could contact an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And they would have towers. I think they might have had a tower at every one of the landfills at one time that were just communication towers for the county. They weren't co-located on or anything, just for their own use.
Now they're getting
a couple cell towers that are going to be able to use for co-location and help pay for it.
I talked to my cousin, and he's like a consultant. He does it, that work for the state. In fact, he designed the stuff for the tower down there in Laurel, that 600-foot tower. And he said there's really no reason why a minimal amount of towers can be placed in the county and build out a network with the least amount of impact. For everybody that wanted to locate in Sussex County for some.
How about the WBOC tower at on the Short Town Road? Like 1,100 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, now the problem they run into, there's only a certain height they can go.
Yeah.
You know, once they go typically be above 200 feet, then they, you know, they have the same problem as going height wise as they have going out.
I just wonder if that tower's got any cell communicator co-locators on.
Probably not.
But it's all wooded and substantially wooded there.
Right.
The one thing you referenced was in Real Poplar River Council. Moratorium. They don't seem like that word.
No.
Yeah,
probably
but
won't happen.
Do they like great revenue resource?
No, they do, but I'm just saying probably won't happen.
And well, it's even tougher with cell towers because the federal law says the counties can't ban
or stop. Hold.
And when you try to, then they come down on us, and we almost have to.
Well, Talbot County did a moratorium for a short period.
Yeah, I think
in
did
order.
It for 90 days or 60 days.
We've done it too, and we
and,
do
and hire consultants
for a specific reference just to get the regulation in place. Mm-hmm. Because what happened when we proposed moratorium in the past, we maybe said we couldn't subdivide.
Even if
then all of a sudden everybody's applying during that 90-day window when you had to advertise and hold public hearings and get a recommendation and a decision before you lift the moratorium.
But even if they didn't moratorium, if they hired a consultant to figure out where all the networks are currently designed and in place, you know, and so forth. I don't, you know, it's just, I know it's not, you know, what we heard in Milford, the last cell tower, made a lot of sense. You know, they're going just from cell phones to, you know, they're wanting to offer internet, wireless internet capabilities, and that takes a lot of electronic space. And you know, they were wanting to offload the town's tower onto this tower, and now that was Seaford, yeah. And they were wanting to offload the town, what's currently in town, off of that tower because it's not capable of handling all the use and demand onto this other tower, and that's just going to continue to grow and expand. You know, eventually we'll be a wireless society, and that there's either going to be a few large towers or there's going to be a whole lot of towers like utility poles.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be ugly, but it'd probably be at least a good idea for the council to look at, you know, what other counties.
But most likely when engineering worked on with their consultants to get this site location for the tower on county property. It could be that they established some of that information already on around that one area anyway.
And it would be good for us to know for sure if these people coming before us are on the level. You know, that there is not something, because we don't know. They could say, okay, you know, there's a tower that's, you know, 2 miles away, and it, you know, and they won't let us co-locate. Well, maybe they went and asked them, and they said, it's going to cost you $40,000, not $25,000. Yeah, right. We don't want to do that. We want our own tower so we can, you know, generate our own revenue.
Well, it could be you could establish, if we you have access to get a map that shows where all the towers are, and you establish who's located on each of those towers.
Well, we already had that.
No, I'm saying, but that's what it needs to be updated on a regular basis, because right. What you have is you got a tower, and how many people have co-located on that tower?
Right.
Whether it's three or five.
And that's what we didn't have.
And you have to figure out where their ranges are to be able to determine how
and so,
the coverage is.
And so with that map, along with the affidavit from the owner of that tower that says, you know, they at least suggest that they've been contacted and they're either going to allow somebody or not.
Well, the affidavit you're getting now is the applicant saying he's contacted them and they didn't have available space. He's not really saying, showing you any proof that other party didn't offer him the space or whatever.
Right.
But that's tough when you involve third parties.
Oh, I know it is. That's the point.
Trying to get an affidavit from somebody who said no is going to be a tough thing. You know, the best you can probably do is get an affidavit from the applicant showing and have him include a copy of the letter he sent to the, you know, the other tower owner or something like that.
But we would still never know because, you know,
they can fake it.
And then later on, that guy, you know, that has the tower says, hey, you want to come locate on my tower? And I don't know. It would be, I think the solution to the problem might be better solved with one entity determining where all that could go.
And that should be the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I agree.
What was that? I was reading.
I was too. I heard, and that should be the decision of
another entity.
I was reading your
cell towers should be conditional uses before the P&Z and county council.
That actually came up when I started asking the commission if there was anything that they felt could be taken, transferred over to the board, like the chicken house on the lot less than 5 acres. And one of them made reference to the word trade. And I said, I don't know about any trade. He said, well, we don't want cell towers. You're talking about one item on one location.
And I don't think that the problem for us is the cell towers. I think the problem for us is determining if it necessary.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Well, you could go back to the old way, and if you change the code to allow a cell tower not to exceed 150 feet, same, and put it into the line item with private radio and television antennas, it's a similarity, but it's not clear, then you may end up eliminating that public hearing process for some of the towers.
Then that would, you know.
And what you do, you create a setback similar to what we're working on with the wind turbines and the cell towers too, but at the height of the towers, it'll be 1.5 times.
Why not say monopoles? Setback
is 1.5 times the height of the tower plus when the turbine is referenced to the tower plus a blade. So you go one time, at least equal distance.
Most of the ones we've had lately are right at 150. They're not, because they don't want to go for the variance.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you can think about.
Make it 200 on a monopole.
You get something you can think
about.
That
way they can put five companies on it.
Address it to the council if they're interested. It'll come up when the ordinance is amended. It won't necessarily come to the board. It'll be the council's decision and the recommendation of the commission in the public hearing process.
Be permitted use.
To change it.
The permitted use in a commercial zone, like a billboard or something.
What you end up with is not to exceed 150 feet. And 150 foot just has to meet certain criteria for setbacks, et cetera.
But 150 feet is only good for three antenna.
Well, I'm just saying, but you have more. You end up with more because it's now permitted use.
Yeah.
As long as it's not an airport approach link.
Right.
But the ordinance doesn't end. But it relates to private and radio. Not private and commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Radio and TV antennas.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say towers. It just said antennas. So there's no real definition in the ordinance about what an antenna is. Right. That might be the problem.
Right.
What else you got, John?
Did you mention the barbecue trailers and the portable vendors?
I meant to reference vendors, that's all.
They should be Board of Adjustment, not conditional use.
Oh, we referenced that before.
Yeah.
That's something that probably would be better to go to the board, because it should be quick.
Yeah, because there's a guy that does it every day or every weekend now out at Parker's. Parker Enterprises.
Most of them aren't permitted.
They are?
Not.
Right.
They have to have a conditional use. Now, if you, the promotional activity.
Right, like Boy Scouts or.
The director, whoever he is, has the right to approve up to 3 days for a Little League fundraiser or a Heart Association, whatever. They do fundraisers all the time, all of them. And we allow, but only allow 3 per a site. That could be that's a restriction that could be. No more than 3, no more than 3 days. Three times a year, 3 days.
I know that one out of Parker Enterprises has been at least 3 times.
Yeah, there are some that we watch, and what happened is the worst example and best example at the same time is the Kmart shopping center. On Route 1. How many people have now been to the board in the last couple of years asking for more than 3 days or more than 3 events a year?
We had 3 this past year.
But you had I.G. Burton, you got the Boat
Schwartz Marine
Association, group, whatever it's called.
Did we limit it to 5 years?
Yeah.
Good, because that one in Burton's, they take up a very large portion of that parking lot.
Yeah, Burton's.
Well, Preston was there first. Rudy's Marine's been there. And a whole bunch of them have done it.
Schwartz
Big
Marine.
Wheel.
Yeah.
That's a fundraiser more than
one of the boat shows was last weekend, I remember.
Yeah, the boat show was last weekend, the weekend before.
Burton was the week before.
We've had 3 in this past year, I believe.
I mean, I'm not.
But they're allowed because the board granted them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here.
And I don't grant the extra 1, 2, and 3 anymore. The number's been exceeded by the board action, so I don't approve any extra ones.
And I have in my notes to allow you to give more days. You should be able to give more than 3, because some of them need 4 or 5.
Well, I think they're allowed in a day for setup and a day
for carry. When I write the letters, I tell them sales can be on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, basically,
right,
whatever day they are. And sometimes they're saying they need 2 days to get the tent up and set up, and they need the 1 day to take it all down. And they tell me typically in their letter how many days it's going to take, but I said the sale's only good for 3 days.
Right.
And they seem to be
comfortable with that.
I can't guarantee it without having somebody stand there. But
I went down there when Burton's was, they were doing it during the week. I don't know if that's an issue on the weekend.
They had more days.
Right.
They had more days and for 5 years.
But the space they're
like 5 days, I think.
The space that they're using would made me think on if they're doing that on the weekend in the summer, or you know when they were doing it, I wonder how Kmart has enough parking.
They do though.
Kmart's got
huge.
An amazing amount of parking.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like overkill. I don't know why it's so big. When you go on a regular day and nobody's there but Kmart open.
Oh, I know that.
They got like less than 10% of it.
Right. I understand that. But it was.
And we talked about where somebody should just go through and just have that parking lot for those purposes, just to be done.
We talked about doing that too.
Yeah. People ought to just do that.
Well, they shouldn't be.
The other thing was we talked about the vendors. And I talk about the promotional activities and tent sales, special events, that type of thing. They're all 3 days, 3 times a year. And that's, as far as the number of days, that's enough.
Yeah.
As long as you give them the time to set up and dig down.
Right.
Because if it's a tent, it's going to take them longer. And the tent guys want to know like a week or two in advance so they can schedule that tent to be at that location and set it up like Wednesday for a Friday sale.
Right.
Because they got to get their material, their sales items inside the tent, whatever.
Right.
But we still have some pop up on the ring.
Aren't you talking about, trailer set up selling food? Who takes care of that? Do we do that, or P&Z do that, or you do that?
We do that as a vendor. We have to cite them if it's in violation.
Mm-hmm.
The health department gets them, but they're just looking at the unit. They don't really get much into where they are.
So you're not allowed to set up a food place without coming to the county and the permit, right?
Conditional use.
Right now, the vendor's conditional.
Have to have a conditional
doesn't even say what it doesn't say just food.
What do you do?
Could be the one at the outlets that behind Applebee's was wanted a sunglass hut out in the patron area that's in the sidewalks instead of not in a building. And if you go down there, you're going to notice there's kettle corn and there's slushies. That's about all they have right now.
What about the hot dog guy at Lowe's?
Hot dog guy at Lowe's had the conditioner used to.
Does he?
Well, when you come out of Milton, the back way can Route 1, you know, there's one right there sitting there.
Yeah, that's at 88 Cape Neck Road.
Yeah.
I had a conditional use.
Okay, because Eddie and I were talking about that last night.
Farmers.
We have a problem with that.
Farmers Market.
Yeah, because I was talking with Eddie last night about that. I thought, I don't know where that came through us or who it came through.
No, conditional use.
Conditional use, okay.
He's okay there.
He's okay there.
He got approval to have a produce, barbecue.
Well, we give him something, too.
Bunch of stuff. Whole list of stuff he can have there. As is part of his conditional use.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of...
Got too many signs.
Oh, yeah.
He's got helicopter rides, which were not authorized. That's illegal.
And we can...
Let's go back to bungee jumping.
They just debate over with the helicopter rides.
Yeah.
But I feel the barbecue and vendor should be special use, not conditional use.
Well, the conditional use process would take them... If they applied and made it, I wouldn't get to use it until August.
Yeah, so they can... We have a lot of requests for it.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a shorter process. Not that it takes.
Well, the state gets involved to do that too, right? Because of the food.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the food is, the state has to give them a list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's on the agenda for Tuesday. There's going to be a discussion on the fee for the Board of Adjustment. I haven't heard the amount, but they're going to discuss it. They're talking about reducing it.
$400 down?
$400 down to something else.
Hmm.
Now, what does it cost the office to do all this advertising and stuff? Around $250,
$300? I don't know without looking at it, but probably.
Roughly.
Yeah.
I thought we addressed that once before.
We looked at all of them before. We looked at the commission and the council because they're together and there's more hearings. And you end up their advertisements are joint. They're sent together, so there's really not that much more advertisement.
Right.
Except for the extra hearing. Was $70 higher than the board.
Right.
Commission gets 500. They went from 300 to 500. The board went from 150 to 400. So I might come back that it should be 300. I don't know what to go. I have no idea what the number is. One of the councilmen put it on the agenda to discuss.
I thought the purpose we did that to stop everybody, you know, did something wrong. Well, next time you come, it's going to cost you $400 to get here to get this thing done.
Just want us to raise that high to keep, you know, keep them down.
It doesn't seem to matter.
Huh? It doesn't seem to matter, though. But
it doesn't seem to matter.
But that was part of the methodology of it, was to slow them down.
That was the thinking, yeah.
That was the thinking, I thought, yeah.
Doesn't seem to matter.
It just penalizes the homeowner.
But a lot of what the board sees is people think that, or some people do, I won't say all people, but a lot of people think that if they go ahead and do it and then they apply for it, you're going to feel sorry for them and get grant approval. A lot of what you see is from a violation, or they've already done it, and we called it at settlement time when they were getting ready to sell the property, and we saw it on survey.
We're at CO.
Variances type thing.
But we've turned more down now that they have to meet the standards.
Oh, no, yeah. No question about it. The commission, or the council, or the commission had one a couple months ago, not to get away from the subject, but the gentleman had a single-story house. He went up and outward, no permit, no building code review, no zoning review, no DENREC review, and I can read down the list. He went to the public hearing, and one of the councilmen or commissioners, I can't remember who did it, but asked him, did you not realize you needed a permit and the building code and all these things? He said, yeah, I know. I didn't get one. Did you know you needed one? Yes, I did. Hadn't been acted on yet, still pending, but hadn't been denied yet. And he's got, he changed from a single family house to six units.
Wow. Well, that's going to be something.
I mean, that's that thinking. And if an individual had been through the public hearing processes before for conditional uses and comply, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, speaking of going up non-conforming, a lot of us disagree that people should go to the Board of Adjustment to put a two-story up when the house is already there. We don't get it, but legally, or you know, got into it.
I think I have to agree with that. If it's not expanding the footprint.
I just don't agree.
It's the expansion of the non-conforming use of the property, and it's all based on value.
You've got a 10 by 20 section already encroaching, and you're going to go up a floor, then you're doubling the amount of encroachment.
I understand. I mean, I guess, but I just, I don't know.
We get a lot of questions on it.
I disagree with going up, but I understand if they're going to go out or go out of the footprint. Yeah, but if they're just going up.
Well, if they're already conforming and they're already okay, then they can go up as high as they want, up to 42 feet, I guess. But
yeah, but if
it's just if they're already encroaching, the question is, do you want them to encroach more? And that's why.
And we would allow them to go up as long as what they went up with conformed.
That was the old rule.
I'm just saying, but they're meeting the requirements by what they're adding. What's encroaching is already there. What they're going to add meets the criteria of the code. They meet all the setback requirements. It just has to conform to the setback requirements, and the height's already there. I'm just asking a question.
Nah.
She brought it up.
I know. She's a troublemaker. we shouldn't have invited her tonight. Mm. You have a T-ball game or something?
Saturday.
Okay.
Ben, we're talking about height and everything.
Keep coming from the tallest man of the
group. Yeah, the tallest guy here brings in.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're going, what, 3 and 4 stories high? And they're still, aren't they still coming in and asking for a 5?
It doesn't bother Lawrence, can you tell?
Doesn't matter.
Well, it didn't bother the council one time when we met with them about it either.
Now, well, the thing, there's 2 scenarios, okay? I'll give you 3. Administratively, you've all heard me say this before. Years ago, Cape Windsor and Swan Keys were permitted to be allowed to be considered as manufactured home parks,
mm-hmm,
because the lots were small. And there was a lot of other places that had the same size lot, but they weren't given that privilege. And they would just have mobile homes, and they would have the same spacing setbacks and all that as if it was a mobile home park. And then when I took over as the director, that's one thing I had always said wasn't right, because it wasn't done officially through any kind of code. It was just a policy. And what we did, we said they had to conform to the zoning category that they're in. They were the mobile in Cape Windsor, it's AR. It doesn't even permit mobile homes.
Yeah.
But the mobile homes are already there.
Yeah.
They'd already established the average of the front, that it could be 5 feet. In Cape Windsor, 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the rear.
5 foot of front. But then their setbacks, because the lots were undersized, could be 10 on the sides. Mm-hmm. But in the rear, it had to maintain 20, because that's the AR district setback.
Well,
and then they're allowed encroachments. In Swan Keys, it was GR, so mobile homes were permitted there. So that was a little easier. But what happened was, we got over 50% less Board of Adjustment applications by saying they're lots in a subdivision, not a park. And they already got their average for their front, so 1's 5, 1's 10.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go up just like it, because it's supposed to be for houses. It's not supposed to be for,
foot, yeah,
it's not for a mobile home.
But don't, what's the percentage of these new ones that are going 3 or 4 feet or 3 or 4 stories higher in Cape Windsor that still want a side yard variance?
Oh, you have some.
I almost.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You do have some, but you don't have as many.
I'm almost of the opinion, and we have the right to deny that, I guess, but the thing we don't know in the application necessarily is whether they're going that high.
Yeah. We had a couple in Swan Keys, I think, where they were like 3,000 square foot dwellings they were putting in on these tiny lots.
Unless you ask them what square footage they're adding on or whatever, or building, you don't know whether it's 3 or 4.
Yeah, the only place where there is a lot coverage references in a mobile home park.
So I guess what I'm saying in relation to all this is that I think my view of a side yard variance in either one of those would be different if I know that the application is for a 3 or 4 story home. I mean, if he's going to build that, if he's going to go up that high, he shouldn't need a 5 foot variance, or he shouldn't want more on the side.
The problem is,
and they're 50 foot lots, so with a 10 foot on each side, that allows them 30 feet. That's a chunk.
Well, the ordinance used to have a reference in it that you wouldn't even have to go to the board. you couldn't reduce the size of a corner lot. Okay, just had a corner lot, street on side, to less than 28 foot. That was in there years ago and we took it out. But now if they had a 50 foot lot on a corner, it's gonna, it could be 25 because you got 15 on one on the corner and 10 on the interior side. But at 28, just, they would take it off the corner side. So they were going closer to the side road, which is what the problem was. So we took it out. But I don't disagree with you, Jeff, at all.
Yeah, it's probably good.
That's why we changed it, because it wasn't a park and they were getting.
And I guess what I'm in relationship to what we're discussing tonight and the ordinance or whatever is, how do we address that? Do we require the applicant to report whether they're going to go three or four stories high, or or how do you address that? So that we know at the application point, or do you want to change the ordinance to say if you're going in so many square footage that you can, But still, they still have the right to apply for the variance, yeah, side yard variance.
I don't see any difference in, you're using Cape Winder as the example. I can go to Ann Acres and some of the subdivision near Dewey Beach that are the same side of the lot.
Yeah.
So you're not just talking about one project.
Right.
And it's so obvious there. That's
yeah, it is obvious.
Because you've seen mobile homes and double wide there for 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden they're boop, going up instead of out.
And maybe the way, maybe the place it fits in is that one element of a variance about whether or not you can reasonable use of the property without a variance. If you can, you just ask the guy if, how big's your house, and yeah, if they tell you, well, it's going to be 3,200 square feet, and then you're thinking to yourself, you don't need a variance if you can squeeze that much square footage into the lot. So.
That's true.
You can put 10 pounds of
I think you probably need to self-police that one and just ask that question, because for years they thought that there was a rule in Swan Keys, for example, that they couldn't go above one story, and the court kicked that out a couple of years ago. That's why you're seeing the multi-levels now.
And that, again, came from the use of that Swan Keys and Cape Winder as a policy that they were a park, because at that time it was only 15. And then we changed it because of the flood. Flood issues elevated, so you had greater. We changed the height limitation.
Well, they had a problem where they never recorded their restrictions, so it was. There were a couple other factors there, and people finally started rebelling.
The other thing there would be the difficulty was because you can establish an average, and almost all the lots were approved. The average came out 5 foot at Cape Windsor and 10 at Swan Key, so you kind of got end up with more buildable square footage and less place to park. But they used to park in the front yard.
Now they can park under the three-story house.
They could, and that's what some of them do, yeah. The difficulty you've had on some of your board cases with both of those projects is trying to locate where they can get two parking spaces to meet the code. Because they want to put a deck here and a deck there, and there's no place to park. They can't park on the street.
So they want to move the house over and park down the side.
So you end up giving the variance on one side and make them park on the other. But they want both sides. Mm. They don't care where they park, as long as they can get to make that house bigger they want it.
For the grandkids.
Okay. Move here somewhere. Let me see. I had a question I wanted to ask the board if I can find it. I wrote it down the other day. Is there anything? I don't see it now. Is there anything? The public hearing process is that the board has a problem with?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's that?
We're constantly hearing that it's difficult to hear board members. So you pull your microphone up like this, and now you can't write on your paper.
Oh, I see your note here, yeah.
So my suggestion would be put longer booms on these. That way it can sit back further. It can be closer to your mouth.
Yeah, the same problem with the board and the commission. And most of the people that are saying are sitting in the back instead of in the front.
Or
for some reason nobody wants to sit.
And they're all going back to talking.
Or talking, somebody else is talking back.
Oh, yeah,
make the wire talking longer so you, for us right-handers, you can put it on the left side.
Oh, yeah, because they got those things really tight as far as where you can move them around.
Right, so
got,
it's
they've got stops.
It's kind of in the way here.
We can ask the the IT folks and council, if they'd consider that, because the council has, a couple of the councilmen have the same problem. They sit all the way back, and they lean back, and they speak, right. But it's difficult to hear them if they're not close to the mic. And you don't have to get super close to this mic to hear it.
Yeah.
My voice might carry, but I see that red light every time I say something, so that's right there. I don't think I'm loud. Am I loud?
No.
And then another problem is that...
Whispered in it came up, so it should pick you up.
People... people have more professional presentations. They use that easel a lot. And when they do, they walk away from the mic.
Well, you do when I'm sitting over here, this goes.
True, but if the guy's right-handed, he's standing on the other side of the easel.
You should pick him up, because these things are really sensitive.
Yeah, but they don't, Mark.
They don't. I mean, I even at times have trouble hearing them. So one thing that you could do, your IT people could do, is maybe put a computer down there and, for the secretary.
There's a portable microphone right at Jen's, which Jen's got in her hand.
Okay.
Is that new?
No, it's been, there's always been one.
Oh.
I didn't know it was there.
I didn't either.
I didn't either.
That'd be perfect for the guy using the...
He used to be over here, and for some reason it's over there today.
Okay.
Well, there you go then.
Well, Jenny.
It worked.
There you go.
Admittedly, it doesn't work real well.
I know y'all were having a big problem.
Doesn't seem to last long at all. The battery just goes up and it's gone.
Well...
That's
ideal for
like,
somebody walking around over there to use this.
I was reading it earlier, and I'm like, oh, well, they
and the only other there. Problem is that people, if the easel is facing us, then people out there for or against or whatever can't see their presentation and what they're talking about.
There's a method of madness that's happened over the last couple of years with the commission and the council. They all bring two sets, and one faces the council or the podium, and the other faces the audience.
Okay.
They do that, so they bring two.
Well, then we need to tell people to bring two.
And if they bring their own easel, we used to have a couple of easels in here, now we only have one, but they would set one up for council and then one going the other way, at the other side of the ring.
The other thing that could be done is a computer and a scanner, so they bring everything on 8.5 by 11 or 14, you scan it in, you put it up on a screen or a monitor, and then if one of the problems that I have, and I don't know about the others, but like we get some things that are passed down. There's only one copy, and it goes down here. And then later in the week, I'm trying to think, what did I see on that paper or whatever. If it was scanned into a computer, it could be printed. Copies could be printed for all of us. So, scanner, a computer, and either a monitor. Or a screen.
There's a PowerPoint right here.
Right.
And there's a screen over there. And what's going to happen? Your public hearing is going to take twice as long.
Why?
Well, they do it because they're going through their whole presentation on the PowerPoint, and they have to talk about each issue rather than get right to the point.
Right, but I'm not talking about a PowerPoint. I'm talking about the things that they actually bring in here. Could be scanned and shot up there, and then everybody could see it.
But that's what happened.
Right.
But we came in yesterday for public hearing, and this PowerPoint was here for a meeting earlier for the budget. And we came in for the council hearings and the public hearings in the afternoon, and we see the PowerPoint, and we see the screen still up, and we're saying, where's Ken Christianberry? He was there, because he likes to use the PowerPoint. And we asked him, no, it's not mine. So we realized it was from the budget. Because they take about twice as long when they start using PowerPoint.
Right.
But they can't find them. What they want to tell you, but they don't look at it enough themselves.
Well, I'm not suggesting we give them the computer.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
So, and we asked that they contact our office, the council office, depending on who's having the public hearing, and IT to get set up for the power, for the machinery and the screen. But we don't keep it here ourselves. IT has to set it up for them.
Well, maybe then, whenever somebody comes in and asks them, and like any exhibits, if they would make, enough copies for all of us.
Well, I was just thinking I will take it back to the office and tell everyone you need to tell the applicant if you're going to present anything, you need to have 5 copies.
6.
Or 6. 5 extra, yeah.
But you need one for the record, one for the
7.
Attorney.
Trouble is the opponents need to do the same thing. It's hard to know in advance
right.
Who they're going to
and that's
but
where
especially the applicant, we can, notify them ahead of time.
The commission by policy, okay, again a policy, which I don't really like policy, but the commission requires that if the applicant is going to present an exhibit booklet, which a lot of them do, that exhibit book has to be submitted 10 days in advance. And you don't have to. It's a, you have the right to submit a book, but if you're going to submit it, we want to know it.
The other problem with the board, Lawrence, is that there's a lot more people without attorneys.
Oh, I know.
Because a lot of what you're talking about, the booklets are being put together by lawyers.
Oh, I know. I agree. I'm just saying that, but that's what they do. And right. What happens is they come in with this. Mm-hmm. And the commission gets it the week in advance. We get it to them a week in advance. And then they have, and Mr. Johnson will come in with that many post-it notes. In his book, because he's going to ask that many questions. So sometimes the hearings get really long. Not picking on Mr. Johnson, but he does use his post notes, and he has questions from what he reads, so he does look at the books. Creates that much more time and his own personal time to do it. So.
Mm. Well, you know, without all that extra, you know, a scanner would certainly display everything for everybody, keep it to a minimum.
Well, if they would submit information, you might need more information when they apply. When you get your packet of information on what they've applied for, then you get that more information right up front.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you have the opposition.
They're still working with other agencies and things, trying to get some things for you that they can't submit to you in advance. They got to wait till the hearing. But we don't require anything without opposition until they get there.
And even the other thing,
we don't know who they are.
Pictures, for example. You know, applicants will bring pictures in. They'll, you know, give Susan, you know, 24 pictures. They'll start talking about them. By the time it gets to me, I'm so far behind that you know, I'm forgetting, and then Rick's going, what was this one?
Yeah, it would be good. There'd be, you know, good
if that's scanned in, and then they
write on the back of the picture what the picture is. That helps too.
Yeah.
But then you got to flip them around and read them.
Well, once again, you scan it in, you pop it on the screen.
No, I don't disagree.
That day will come. Technology improves, it'll be on your screens.
Or even that, yeah. I mean, for our benefit, it could be scanned in and then put right into these screens. I know they don't
the council, get it. The council uses, some of the councilmen use these monitors.
Check their email.
Some of them can use the mouse, some of them use keyboards.
Some of them check their email.
And some of them don't use them at all. What some, a couple of them do, they actually go, they want to get mad at me because they don't have an address. I give a 911 address. It doesn't even relate to the parcel.
No.
Right.
The 911 address we have is from the applicant where he lives, not where the site is. So they can't, that doesn't help. So they can find where the site is and look at it in color on Google and see
what's going on.
Yeah,
but even Google takes so long.
But the Google maps are only good for whatever date they were printed. We don't even know what the dates are.
Right. I've used it.
2011, but they're 2009 or earlier sometimes, because you can see where they change the pictures as they get them.
I've used it for the Google purpose, you know, to look at overheads, and it is very beneficial, but I have to look so many in advance in order to, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because otherwise the hearing's over before you, Google, you know, these computers are slow. And we touched on something earlier as far as policies. We have a lot of people that violate or, you know, in violation of, and we've talked about it before, you know, on-premise billboards advertising on-premise businesses, or, you know, these new signs that, you know, are graphics and they advertise off-premise stuff. And we've approved the sign. And we touched on the fact maybe it should be, if people are in violation in that respect, and somebody might have suggested that we can do that, is to withdraw the or take back the approval that's been granted if they're in violation.
Well, I think you can probably do that on possibly on some special use exceptions. I don't think you can do it on variance or anything like that. You can do it on conditional uses. If they don't not comply with the conditions that are conditional use, we can make an attempt through legal means to get it voided, but it's difficult.
Right.
And we have done it. Just a couple times, all we had to do.
Right.
But I've voided a lot of conditional uses just because they're not there anymore. As soon as they're gone, they're void.
Right.
Special use exceptions should be the same.
Yep. I agree.
The difficulty I had with those conditional uses, I got 1,900 of them. a lot more variance, a lot more, the same number of special use exceptions, probably, it's probably close. But the conditional use, I got 1,900 of them, and I probably avoided 500. Because of car lots and stuff mm-hmm. like that, they only stay there a couple of years and they go away.
Right.
The way they don't come back until they reapply. I'm working on that list right now, that's why that number is fresh, but about how many I think I've got so far with that.
Right. Oh,
and that, but they were all the way back to 1971.
Right.
Just like your special use. Right now you're at 1,812 or 13, something
yeah,
like that. I
forget
the number. I just did the signs a little while ago. Or
yeah.
18,000.
There's a certain liquor store that is in constant violation, and we granted signs.
You shouldn't be a frequent flyer, so you wouldn't see those signs so much.
It's a drive-by.
Say
but right there on 13, I've reported several times. You know, we've got one business that has three billboards, and I know at least one of them isn't supposed to be advertised on premise business, and it is. And then we've also got one of those graphic signs, and he's out on 13 and advertises a business in town.
Is that still happening?
Oh yeah, every day.
Very long.
Every day.
Yeah.
Not a real big electronic bill sign.
No, but you know what really, I guess, you know, is a dig in my crawl about that, is that it's the same guy that owned Marathon Farms.
I know who it is.
Yeah.
I know what sign you're talking about.
And he knows better because he had to come in at that time. He had a sign at Marathon Farms advertising Marathon Hotel in Laurel. And
which
you know,
he also, but it's wrong. So it's not off premise sign.
And he's also, I think, a town councilman. You know, to me, that's blatant disregard for you know the rules and.
Town councilman, I don't think.
Oh, he used to be at Laurel.
Oh, both maybe. That's different.
Yeah, he used to be a town councilman at Laurel.
The sign at the near the Elks Lodge Road or 46.
Yeah.
Is turned off. I haven't seen it on yet.
The one in Seaford?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a few guys just turned off with nothing on it.
Right.
It does say Marathon at the top, but it doesn't say where.
Right.
That's the original part.
And, well, I mean, we granted that for a certain period, but right. It wasn't forever.
Because he was supposed to build a motel there.
And he never did.
No.
Right. Service today's there.
Right.
You know, it's just, so for people like that, we all say, you know what, take down the sign. You can't have it anymore.
Well, you on that sign, John, too. The one that, I think, Hertrick's, right there, the one that tore down and cut down, and they're supposed to clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a time limit? Are they supposed to get that out of there?
Which one's that?
We approve billboards across the road from Hertrick's.
Yeah.
Triangle?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Cut them all down.
Pine Ridge, near Pine Ridge Park?
Yes.
There's still laying there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they never cleaned up their debris.
But never put a sign back yet.
No. How long do they have to put the billboards up? I'm sure.
A year from the findings.
Good for a year from the finding of fact.
You know, one thing that held that up was he had a whole bunch of little signs stuck out there. And you know, we asked that what assurances do we have that those signs won't reappear? So, and, you know, we waited. We didn't hear anything. And finally the sign guy goes, you know, Mr. Hertrick says that he won't do that in the future. So we approved the billboards. And damned if it wasn't even less than 2 weeks later, he had all those little signs out there again.
I think, if I remember right, I think he got a permit for the signs. He just hadn't installed them yet.
Right.
I think he did.
Yeah, there's a permit.
He got the permit for that and supposed to clean the other up at that time,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm saying he got a permit for the new sign he was putting
yeah.
up there.
Well, it was somebody else that came and saw them off.
Clear Channel.
Clear Channel did it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, in that apartment, they're supposed to clean that up.
They wouldn't let him have
them. And they ain't.
He should be the one cleaning up his property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But by the same token, I mean, he goes and sticks those little signs out there again that we, you know,
yeah.
we had an issue with. We should be able to go back and say, you know what? Forget you. You can't put your billboards up now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it could be that's close to a year ago, probably. So
I hope he does go past a year. And I hope it does come before us again, because I'll be one to vote against it. Ridiculous.
Anything else?
Yeah, I got a thing you just brought up a while ago. And Rick been into this doggy at the beach. They're supposed to went to Demrec and they're supposed to take care of the waste and everything. So Rick put it, sent a letter to him and put it back in their hands to get back with us. So they've been doing something. We ain't heard nothing yet. Can we, can you?
Oh, they just, you did, you ended up denying it.
We denied it.
And they filed suit.
And they appealed.
They're appealing.
Right.
They never got brought us back anything yet.
What we were trying, I was trying to get Denrec to weigh in on some options, and I just couldn't get them to do it. So it came back to you, and you ended up denying the application and basically said if they can come up with their own solution, they can come back and reapply.
Well, I thought...
In the meantime, they still, appealed the denial.
And, but they're still operating, right?
Because they've appealed. They're allowed to.
Yeah. Long as the appeal's going on.
But once the appeal's finished, if the judge says no, you can't, they got to remove it.
Stop it. Take it down. Or
oh, okay. That's why I'm not.
Yeah, they'd already expanded their outdoor area, right? So
they have the business there. They would just have to take the fence area down.
And the county's policy has always been.
How can you keep a business there and got waste and everything else? What are you going to do with that?
I mean, we'll figure out after the appeal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, two other quick things I had, billboard structures, and it's just a question to ask county council that we always have. Do they have a preference between the newer monopole structures versus the old wooden pole structures? More people were coming in requesting monopoles, but now the economy's dropped off. I think they're having a tendency to go back to multi-pole. I mean, I don't know that it matters.
I've never heard them say anything about any preference at all.
Okay.
They rarely discuss signs at all.
It's our opinion, I guess our personal opinions, that the monopole looks better. Think,
right? Well, monopole looks better,
I can operate that.
It'll last longer and be more maintenance.
The other thing, placement surveys. It's been discussed in the past. That perhaps some variance requests could be minimized if placement surveys were required once the foundation or slab for a building was in. Is that a possibility? No?
Probably not.
Okay.
Oh, we've said that. Years of this, we tried this 30 plus years ago. We had a little sample lot. They were all just square, rectangular, and he noted the setbacks on each of that little drawing, and then they had to sign it that they saw. That was something similar to what we do now. We require them to sign the permit and say they acknowledge that they put the setbacks on. Didn't work. Placement survey would not be acceptable to council, most likely, because of the cost up front. They fuss about it now because we're saying you need a placement survey, like in Sierra. You apply to be able to get a permit, you got to have approval from the park. It impacts the little guy more than it really hurts the small guy, but it's $400,000 to $600,000.
But it would really hurt the small guy if we denied these variances.
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, but
yeah.
The argument has been they were having to pay $600 for a survey, and they had to pay $400 for the Board of Adjustment. That's the reason that it's going to be discussed Tuesday about reducing the fee for a Board of Adjustment.
Yeah, because one of the council members already called about that, one of the white calls, and said they're paying anywhere from $700 to $1,200, and that is coming up.
I'm sure that's what it is. So that's why they want to reduce it, because they keep hearing complaints from the, and mostly it's the tenants.
Well, the
comments
that works. Well, like you said, the downturn and stuff, you didn't hear that much about it, but now they've, maybe a year ago, but.
Well, one of my suggestions there was that if we violate the tenant, we should violate the park owner.
Oh, God, yes.
The park owner is the one that allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I go along with that.
I don't know if that's, I mean, everybody else is the owner.
Well, that's what triggered the mechanism to force the tenant to get the approval of the landlord first, so we didn't have that.
I'm just saying, but that's what we've been talking lately. We've been saying, well, if we're going to violate a tenant, we need to put the owner on notice that there's a violation, and it's their responsibility to keep their park in order.
CC the violation to the owner also.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my inspectors.
They're supposed to keep their park in order. We should not do it for them.
Okay. Speaking of that situation, what's going on? Is Del Rossi, can I throw all that paperwork away, or is it coming back?
It's done.
I had arranged a meeting with the other two county attorneys on Bay City, and then that's when Everett started to have a lot of problems with his eyes. So he's still not back full-time, and so that's kind of sitting on the back burner until we can all get together and figure that out.
He might be at council on Tuesday.
Yeah, Dave's been doing him. I haven't seen him.
Good. Vince did it this week, and Dave's been doing it. Yeah, and he said, and I saw an email, and he said that Everett may be back next week to work in the council chamber. He said he's got some really a good report this time from his ophthalmologist.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay.
I got a complaint before we get out of here. These lights around the wall here, these sconce lights.
Yeah.
They bother me. I don't know if they bother you guys or not from your perspective.
They do.
But sitting here trying to look at the people.
Gonna squint.
That one, second one especially, is bright. You can't even see for it.
These
two here are brighter than anything else. They blind you. Blind me anyhow.
Mr. Wilson.
Where you guys sit, whether they blind or not.
Turn them off and see what it looks like. Can you turn just those?
Either keep them off or else put a
there you go.
Put a different bulb in there. That
eliminates
softer.
That eliminates it right there.
Good enough, right there.
Yep, leave them right off.
You don't even need them. They're just decorative, anyhow.
I didn't. Not my roof.
Leave them off. That's what I mean. Okay.
Getting out.
Where's the switch? I'll make sure they're off.
First one.
Come in.
Yep. First
switch.
One. Closer to the door.
Right by the door.
These two bother Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're bright.
These.
Yeah.
On the cell tower.
One of these, I think it might be those two.
That's where they hang out.
It could be a smaller bulb in there or something.
We had a public hearing Tuesday.
Well, looks like there's a ceiling light that's just out.
And they had the easel sitting right here.
That's a
almost underneath those lights.
I think it's something.
And I'm sitting over there where Rick is, and I couldn't see the easel. I couldn't see a thing on it because it wasn't bright colored. It was just there.
Yeah.
I got up and walked around and turned the light on because I saw the switch was off. I could see that far. And 42. Sam's sitting there going, fussing at me in his eyes. And he was letting me know that he had done that. So I just left them off.
Yeah.
Turned them on anyway.
Well, that's much easier on the eyes like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I understand. That's no problem.
Now we can turn these off and just have little candles on the table.
This is the one.
Turn the mics down low.
See, these two look
those
so much brighter
bright.
Than those two.
Yeah, that's real bright. That one.
No, they do.
These
I have
two
to squint
are
a lot myself.
But these, you can
I
reduce,
squint a lot.
You can
bring me a can
podium.
Of black paint and spray them up in there.
The only dark spot is where Jennifer is.
Yeah, we know.
I don't need a light.
We'll get her one of them coal miner hats. A little light on it for her.
It's very
dark. I don't need a light.
Right
I can
there.
See
it. I know it is. That's these are ones that you can adjust a little bit.
We should ask them if they can put a softer, lighter bulb.
Also, let's see where this one is. There's a switch on the side of this switch. There's a little button.
A dimmer.
Sort of a dimmer. I don't see where it is, though. Anybody see where it's working?
No.
You know, it hasn't. It, since
it was them a bit there in the middle.
Little thing that on there?
Yeah.
Since we're on the topic of creature comfort, it hadn't been a problem so far this year, but we've had summers in the past. It's a little warm in here for our meeting.
Typically on nights of hearing, they leave the air on. In this room. You go in my office right now, and it's probably 80.
We don't have to live there.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I worked last night for a while and realized that I started getting so hot, I finally quit.
Yeah,
it's so warm in there. It's not comfortable to work. I'm not going to stay in there.
No. Okay. Nothing else?
Yeah, that's
put lighter bulbs.
Well, I think it's the shields more than the bulbs.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe they could put a little dimmer bulb in there. Or
yeah, they could, but I mean, it's a chrome shield.
What kind of bulbs are in there?
It's doing its job.
Any fluorescent one?
No, they're ready to have a bit long.
It's right there,
that's they do hurt my eyes.
They blind you,
they
don't find
anybody else but other than Creature Comforts?
Nope, if not,
nope.
They're open for adjournment then. Thank everyone for coming.
So moved.
Second? All those in favor of the motion?
Aye. All about 8:48.
All opposed? Meeting adjourned, subject to call at 8:50. Oh.